Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons and other podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or any popular podcasting platform. Join us on our Sunday worship times at 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m.
This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled Diagnosis and Gratitude. Scripture comes from Luke 17, 11 through 19.
Our passage this morning is in your bulletin, and it's one of those passages that has the delightful capacity to surprise us, even though we've heard it a number of times. I find that throughout the Bible, that there are those times when we go on our way, and every day looks the same, and we're not expecting anything different, and then by the grace of God, something cuts across our consciousness, and it startles us, it causes disequilibrium, it causes a crack between what we expected and what we are finding, what we know and what we don't know. And it's in that moment something can move in that wasn't there before. Just ask Moses as he was walking the desert, as he had decided his life was pretty much over in terms of any eventful kinds of things. And he's walking along and he sees this bush that's burning. Nothing all that unusual about burning bushes in the desert, but this one didn't stop burning. It kept burning, and it caused a moment, and it was, what? And in that moment, there was the possibility of an encounter with God. Consider all the people who followed Jesus, and they would follow along, and here was this teacher who was coming through and doing things, and then he would say something, or he would say something old in a new way, and people would go, wait, what? And they would turn aside and they would come find out more. And it was in that moment, that just that little bit of a crack between what was expected and what was unexpected, that there's a possibility for an encounter with God. Or when this same teacher, when Jesus came, and as he was working and telling stories, he would tell stories or do things that intentionally were meant to twist and just turns the occasion just enough so that if you were watching, you might notice and turn your head. And it's in that moment, it's always in that moment that there's a crack where there's the possibility for grace to teach us, to lead us, maybe change us. That's what this passage is about. I'm going to read it. Again, it's in your bulletin. It's a passage that you may have heard before. It's not a minor passage by any means, but I'm going to invite you to listen to it as if you're listening to it for the first time, that it might catch us afresh and maybe make us fresh as well. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region, that region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. And keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. This is in itself one of those stories that made people turn their heads. That's why so many people followed. Here was something that was new. Here was somebody who spoke with authority. That in and of itself is what we have come to expect of Jesus. But if we read further, this starts to take some different twists and turns for us this morning. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. For those of us 2,000 years on the other side of this story, we have come used to the idea that there was something surprising that Jesus would do with outsiders, Samaritans, who were considered basically heathens. They were considered untrustworthy, and they are a common foil that Jesus uses to get people's attention, because here's a Samaritan who's not supposed to know anything about God, or everything he knows is supposed to be wrong, and yet somehow Samaritans keep getting it right. That's supposed to turn our heads. But there's even more into that. Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. There is something that's troubling and curious about this passage, if we let it be. There's something that's troubling and curious about this passage that asks us some different kinds of questions. It is enough, of course, that there is a Samaritan and the Jews, the people who aren't supposed to know God and the people who are. It's perhaps not surprising that they would hang out together, these lepers. Lepers are the people in those days who were isolated. They were feared. They were loathed. They represented all that was wrong. And in those days, if you were sick, if you had leprosy or anything bad happened to you, it was assumed that it was probably because something you had done or not done, or somebody who you knew had done something wrong. That was the common understanding. So not only were you sick and dangerous and contagious, there was something about you that people would do well to stay away from, and so they would isolate. And as so often happens, it doesn't matter who you are anymore. Pain forms its own kind of communities. And so there are Samaritans and Jews and everything else around when they're hurting. It is its own community. So that's perhaps not as surprising, but there is something else that is happening. And it happens with this idea that there is healing without believing the right thing. The Samaritan, who didn't necessarily believe the right things about God in his day, he would have been a leper in his own way just because of who he was, and yet he gets healed just like everybody else. But then it goes a little bit deeper. Here's the surprising thing about this passage. There's healing, and then there's being made well. All 10 are healed of leprosy, and leprosy is no small thing. Leprosy is the scourge of the ancient world in the first century. It is the scourge, and it would isolate, and it would eventually kill you. So there's no small thing. But isn't it interesting that all 10 are healed, but at the end of the day, he says to the one who comes back and gives thanks, you've been made well. Evidently, according to this passage, there's a cycle of gratitude. Something is received. It's received as a gift. And then that gift elicits gratitude. And then that gratitude opens us up to the needs of others, and we give. And then as we give, that starts the cycle over again. And now there's more reason for thanksgiving and gratitude. We all get bigger. The world gets larger. God's work is increased. It becomes part of the good news of God. Now, it's not automatic. It's not as simple, obviously, as a little simple parable that takes place in a half block. But the principle is still there. As is the principle, there are ways to stop the cycle. At what point could we have shut down that cycle? At what point would that story have ceased? It would have been the first time someone had received something, either not as a gift, they might have still been annoyed, they might have still been self-absorbed, or they received it and it didn't elicit gratitude, or they could have received it, felt grateful, but then not extended themselves and become generous. And it goes around and around. Instead of becoming larger and larger, then it starts to implode on itself. And everybody is smaller. And God's work doesn't get done, and God's character isn't expressed. This morning, we have participated in the cycle of gratitude. As we do every day we have that chance to wake up and do something. Every day we get to receive the things that we have been given as a gift or as an entitlement. We get to become grateful or just stay self-absorbed. We get to open ourselves up and become generous, or just stay small and tight, fearful. And then it gets offered, and now it belongs to somebody else. We get to be a part of that. And I'm just convinced in the core of my bones, if you want to grow a person's soul, pay attention to expressions of gratitude and generosity. There's a reason in the 5x5, that piece that helps people grow, that so many things have to do with expressing gratitude and rejoicing and in giving. Because if those are the two great movements by which we experience and extend the very character and nature of God. I'm going to end it there for us today. I'll pick up some more of the other things next week. But I wanted to land here on this day as we're bringing in pledges, as this day, as we are thinking about what God could do in and through us, that we get to be a part of, and we are invited by God to be part of the ever-expanding cycle of gratitude. Good and gracious God, keep us open, keep us aware, keep us receptive, that we might have the eyes to see, to recognize, and then the hearts that are able to respond, and that our hearts are aligned with your heart. Our actions are extensions of your actions, and our vision is attuned to yours. Through Christ we pray. Amen. And life can be just this treadmill of one thing after another, after another, after another, and we hardly even notice when something goes well, or if we notice, it doesn't last very long. Imagine, for instance, having a whole day that is set aside for a national day of Thanksgiving, and everyone finds reasons to be thankful, only by the end of that day, they're already anxious about getting and buying as if they don't have enough, and it causes great anxiety. If you can imagine such craziness. It doesn't matter how much stuff we have. It doesn't matter how many prayers have been answered. It doesn't matter all that we have been given if we can't recognize it and connect it with gratitude. In fact, is it not possible by this passage that the prayers that get answered can somehow even enable ingratitude? That the more things we get, if we don't connect them back with gratitude, don't see them as a gift of God, then it's just one more thing and one more thing and one more thing, and life becomes one more thing, and it doesn't have the depth. We aren't well. We are in a state of dis-ease. This is not about hurting God's feelings. This is about making us well. What have you been given? What have I? Let's take a moment, shall we, and bring all of those things, including our sense of not enoughness and ingratitude, before the God who heals, that we might be made well. Would you join me? God, you are the one who heals. You are the one who gives. Forgive us this day, especially this day, on the Sunday before a day of Thanksgiving, that we look back at our life and recognize there have been so many things that we have been given, and yet too many times we find ourselves oblivious. And that our faith is disconnected and our rejoicing is disconnected from you. It is fleeting. We are oblivious to who you are and what you have done, and so we often miss what you are doing. We are glad to receive, but then we ignore those around us who need the same. And we have used your many good gifts to build ourselves up, and yet it leaves our hearts untouched. Forgive us, we pray. Heal us, we ask, that as we go from here, we would have eyes that can see and hearts that recognize and respond in ways that not only we, but our world is blessed. And so we offer ourselves to you for that reason this day, and for that purpose this day, and with the words that you gave us so long ago. Hear us this morning as together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is possible to have a table that is full and have people around that you love. It is possible to have all of that and still not be made well. It is possible to have a Thanksgiving where you are missing people and in great sorrow and grief and missing, and there is times of great want and still be made well. It has very little to do with the outside. It has everything to do with what's going on the inside. So here's the last curiosity about this passage that strikes me. According to this passage, there are things that only God can do. In those days, only God could cure leprosy. But just as amazing, and maybe even more notable for the 21st century, when it comes to being well, there are things that only you and I can do. Your gratitude is a statement of faith. Your gratitude, your faith, has made you well. It is what he had control of, not what he didn't have control of, that determined whether or not he would be made well. So the last crack in what we normally expect to find in the Bible, the last opening where maybe grace can come in, is to ask ourselves, what am I in control of? What can I do? What have I been given? But here's the real question, how am I responding? When we talk around here about five times a day, find ways to rejoice in God, five acts of gratitude, or daily acts of service and gratitude, these are not just to keep us busy, but to open us up. When we say thank you, it is not just a way so that God doesn't feel bad. We're not trying to not hurt God's feelings. We are trying to make our hearts whole. And it all has to do with gratitude. It has to do with doing the things to recognize the gifts that we have been given and connect them to the source and to respond accordingly. I pray this Thursday, this week, that you will find many times to be overwhelmed with the many good things you have. But more than that, may you also find the grace and the eyes to connect all of that to the source of who you are. So that it's not just the outside where it is bountiful, but at the very core of who you are, may you indeed be made well.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. And if you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review us, share with your friends, and we will see you next time.